Time now for the sunny side of sports with Sonny Young. Hello, Sonny.
Happy Wednesday, Yehias.
Sonny, I understand you're beginning this evening in Nigeria's political capital.
Yehias, let's kick off in Abuja, where the Nigeria Football Federation on Wednesday formally introduced former national team captain Sunday Olise as the new head coach of the Super Eagles, the country's national team. The 40-year-old Olise replaces another former Super Eagles player, Stephen Keshi, who was fired earlier this month. NFF President Amaju Pinnick introduced Olise at the Abuja news conference.
Well, today is another epoch-making day in the history or historiographic literature of football of Nigeria. We are very, very excited about today. Today, we have just been able to unveil, we've just been able to present the Pep Guardiola of Africa.
Nigeria Football Federation President Amaju Pinnick says Sunday Olise has the qualities to take Nigeria football to great heights. And if Olise wasn't feeling any pressure before that Abuja news conference, I imagine being described as the Pep Guardiola of Africa does turn up those pressure valves just a bit. Olise says it's a great honor to be Nigeria's coach, but he cautions those who may be expecting him to perform a miracle of sorts.
First of all, I'm not coming as a messiah. I'm not coming as a man who knows it all. I'm not coming as someone who can singularly, alone, just turn Nigeria into Germany. But I'm coming as a man who has come to serve his country and ready to give 150%.
Sunday Olise's immediate challenge is to qualify Nigeria for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will be hosted by Gabon. Nigeria, a three-time Nations Cup champion, kicked off its 2017 qualifying campaign with a 2-0 victory over visiting Chad last month in Kaduna. Reaction to Olise's appointment seems generally favorable. I asked for comments at my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. Abdul Daniel Dio, who is from Anambra State, Nigeria, says he supports Olise 150%. Jimmy Isaiah Dexter, writing from Lagos, Nigeria, says he wishes Olise all the best. And Jimmy adds, Olise should select players on merit and present form and not by compulsion. And Samuel Atilola, also writing from Lagos, says, all eyes are on Olise. He should be responsible for his decisions. I believe he'll deliver. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Sporty greetings, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, let's kick off with African club football. Recent action in both the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup tournaments. Let's begin with the Champions League, David, and how about the results?
Right, Sonny, we look at Group A first. It was Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco, 0. TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo, 0. And Al Hilal of Sudan, 2. Smouha of Egypt, 0. Real turn up in this group, Sonny. It was expected to be dominated by Mazembe, but as things stand after two rounds, Mazembe are only third. The standings are Hilal on top with 4 points, Smouha have 3, Mazembe have 2, and Tetouan have got 1 point. If we look at the matches, Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco, they were on top in the first half against Mazembe and had several chances to go ahead, while Mazembe were better in the second half and came close to scoring. But a big worry, Sonny, for this Mazembe team, which, remember, is a mix of players from Congo, Ghana, Mali, Tanzania and Zambia. It's a real multinational outfit. Is they've now gone 2 matches. The good news is they haven't conceded any goals. But the really bad and worrying news for their French coach, Patrice Carteron, they haven't scored a single goal. 2 draws, no goals scored, no goals conceded, and that's got to be a worry. And they're away again in the next round of matches. They're playing Smouha, the Egyptian side, in Alexandria. On the other hand, the surprise packet so far, the Sudanese club Al Hilal. Al Hilal have been runners-up twice when the competition was known as the African Champions Cup. More recently, they've reached the semi-finals three times, but they haven't been able to make that breakthrough. Now, on a previous Sunny Side of Sport, I mentioned how impressive they were against Mazembe and Lubumbashi. In fact, unlucky not to win that game. And they kept up that good form at home against Smuha. No goals in the first half, but 7 minutes after half-time, Ahmed put them in front. And then Hamid with a brilliant solo goal, dribbling past several defenders before scoring. He made it 2-0 with 9 minutes to go, and that was that. So at the moment, the significant issues from Group A are the good form of Hilal and the fact that Mazembe are struggling and not scoring any goals. In the next round of fixtures, which come up on July the 26th, Smuha are at home to Mazembe, and Tetuan host Hilal. Moving on, Sonny, to Group B, Mouloudia El Ulma of Algeria nil, Entente Setif of Algeria, the title holders, won, and Ousma of Algiers won, Al-Marek of Sudan nil. So two very tight affairs, these, both decided by a lone goal. And in the case of Setif, it was into stoppage time before Bellamiri scored the only goal, and that put Setif back on track after they had lost their opening match at home to Ousma Alger. Ousma Alger, on the other hand, they're the pace setters. A lone goal, 8 minutes after half-time from Bel Alia. That gave them a 1-0 victory over Marek. I did see some footage of this game, Sonny, and a very controversially disallowed goal for the Sudanese, 3 minutes from time. A corner kick came across, and it was powerfully headed into the net. And the assistant referee, he said that the ball had gone out of play from the corner and then came back in before it was headed into the net. Now, unfortunately, the angle that I saw, Sonny, meant it was indecisive whether that actually happened or not. But that would be rather odd that you take a corner kick, it goes out of play and then goes back into play before a goal is scored. As a result of those games, Sonny, the standings are Ousma on top with 6 points. Marek and Setif have got 3 points each. At the moment, Marek from Sudan, they've got a slight edge because they've got a +1 goal difference. Setif, on the other hand, are level. They've scored 2 and conceded 2. And Ulma, I'm afraid, after just 2 rounds, are in big trouble. They've got no points at all. And in the next round of matches, on July the 24th, USM will play Ulma. So that's a top versus bottom clash. And a day later, on July the 25th, I think a very significant game, Setif and Marek. My gut feel at this stage, Sonny, is that Ousma are going to win this group, and I see it as a battle between Setif and Marek to finish second and also qualify for the semi-finals. And in consecutive rounds, we're going to have Setif at home to Marek and then Marek at home to Setif. And I think if either of those clubs can get 4 points, in other words, win at home and draw away, I think that is the club that will make it through to the semi-finals. Voice of America! A reminder to all Voice of America listeners, the group winners and the group runners-up, after a 6-match-day series of games, they qualify for the semi-finals.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. In Major League Baseball's 86th annual All-Star Game Tuesday night, the American League defeated the National League 6-3 at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, Ohio. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Toddy Abeje. More sporty greetings, Toddy.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. It was more clout from Trout as Los Angeles Angels outfielder Mike Trout was named Most Valuable Player for the second consecutive year. Trout is the first player in Major League history to win back-to-back MVPs in the All-Star game. He started off the game by hitting a home run in the first inning. It was his only hit of the game. He also scored 2 runs to spice up his MVP performance. Hey, Mike, how does it feel to win back-to-back All-Star Game MVPs?
It feels awesome. I can't explain the feeling right now. Just the whole environment, whole experience, it's been so fun. It's awesome.
Mike Trout's awesome performance also helped the American League gain home field advantage in October's World Series. The winning league in the All-Star Game gets that advantage. It means if the World Series goes the full 7 games, the American League team will host 4 of the games. This will be the 14th World Series in which home field advantage was awarded to the league that won the All-Star game. I'm VOA's Toddy Abeje. Back to you, Sonny.
Thank you, Toddy. Joining us now with an update on cycling's greatest event, the Tour de France, is VOA's Jonah Haskell. Hi, Jonah.
Hey, Sonny. The Tour de France continued Wednesday as riders passed the halfway point of the race, with Kenyan-born British rider Chris Froome still leading the pack. Stage 11 began in the historic town of Pau, nestled high in the Pyrenees Mountains of southern France, before continuing along a winding mountainous route through the scenic Pyrenees National Park, before finishing in the small town of Couteret in the picturesque Vallée de Saint-Savin. The largest climb of the day saw riders pedaling their way up the Col de Thumalay, which rises to 2,115 meters above sea level. The winner on the day was Rafal Majka of Russia, who rides for Tinkoff Saxo. Froome, who finished ninth on Wednesday, now leads the race by a total of 2 minutes and 52 seconds, earning him the coveted yellow jersey. And while he also leads the point standings in the climbers competition for the polka dot jersey, Froome cannot wear both. Chris's Team Sky teammate Richie Porte of Australia currently holds the polka dot jersey instead. MTN Kubeka, the only African team in the race, had a good stage, as MTN member Sergei Powells finished fourth. MTN Kubeka now sits in ninth place, just behind Swiss team IM Cycling, while Froome's British Team Sky takes the top spot. Stage 12 will take place Thursday, starting in the southern French town of Lannemezan, before finishing 195 kilometers away in the Plateau de Bella, just a few miles from the French borders with Andorra and Spain. With your Wednesday Tour de France update, I'm Jonah Haskell. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Jonah, and thank you, Toddy Abeje. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Hayes Wuhi.